Hi, welcome to the Covenant Presbyterian Church podcast, a weekly broadcast of our Sunday sermon. Covenant Presbyterian Church is an open, affirming congregation, and we're so glad you found us. Our primary mission is to equip God's people to serve Christ in the world. In our weekly messages, we hope that you'll find inspiration, encouragement, and even challenge for your faith journey. Please listen with us now.
At the very beginning of our reading from 1 Samuel, self-doubt pervades the story. Self-doubt pervades the story from the very beginning of 1 Samuel, because before we come to our reading, when we are still in the first chapter of this book, we find a set of characters. We find Elkanah, who is a Levite, a servant of God's priests. We find his two wives, Peninnah and Hannah. And we are told that Peninnah has been blessed with fertility, that she has many children, both daughters and sons, and that Hannah has heretofore not had children. And she feels a lot of distress about this, and Peninnah certainly adds to her distress. You may know that back in those times, when women had no legal way to really own property or to make a living or to accumulate something financially for themselves, that their primary value was seen in not just producing children, but in producing sons. And so it was particularly despairing for Hannah that she had no children, that she had not yet born a son for her husband Elkanah. And Elkanah's other wife very much added to that feeling of despair with a heavy dose of shame, with insults, with her own verbal abuse toward Hannah. Hannah, in her distress, cries out to God and says, God, if you will grant me a son, what I will do is entirely dedicate that child to you. She says, I'll make that child a Nazarite. And a Nazarite is someone who in those days had taken a special vow to God that they would not cut their hair, that they would not touch a drink of anything intoxicating. There were certain other dietary requirements involved in being a Nazarite. It was this special class of people who had particularly devoted themselves to God. Hannah says to the Lord, if you would grant me a son, I'll make him a Nazarite. I'll devote him completely over to your service. The shears are never going to touch his head. And sure enough, 9 months pass, and a son is born. And that son is the namesake of this book, Samuel. Now, in case you're curious, there's a first and there's a second Samuel. In case you're curious about where that comes from, first and second Samuel began as one book called Samuel. And then around 200 or 300 BC, as there were translations from Hebrew to Greek of this work that we now think of as an Old Testament work, the scrolls were only so long. And the scrolls were only long enough so that one half of the book could be recorded on one scroll. And so that then became 1 Samuel, and the next scroll became 2 Samuel. So now we have two books of our Bible, both named after this child of a miracle. Now, if you've ever read these texts, you may have come across in 1 Samuel chapter 2 a song that Samuel's mother sings. Her name is Hannah. And you may have come across a song that Hannah sings that is very much like the Magnificat that Mary sings in Luke chapter 1. In fact, you can very much say that Hannah's song is a prefiguration of the Magnificat. It explores similar themes of God being so great and so glorious, and God looking from that stance of greatness on the lowliness of God's servant. In one case, Mary, in this case, Hannah. And then, knowing that God looks with favor on those who are lonely, both Mary's Magnificat and Hannah's song have themes of God sending the rich away empty, filling the poor with the things that they need, humbling the powerful, and giving strength to those who are humble. Both of these songs have revolutionary themes, and in our biblical literature, these revolutionary themes are connected to the births of these miraculous children. In one case, many years from now, that miraculous child will be Jesus. He'll have his own set of significance. But in this case, those themes are connected to the birth of Samuel, to the birth of this prophet, to the idea that the people of God particularly need what this person is going to bring to them in the course of his lifetime. And because of that, there will be some measure of God being made visible in glory, in power, in revolutionary transformation. There will be some measure of God being shown because this child is born. And that brings us to where our reading begins, to chapter 3 in particular, which is a time when Samuel has grown up a little bit. And Hannah has made good on her promise. She promised that if this child was born, that she would dedicate him to the Lord. And so she has. She's brought him to the temple. She's given him over to the priests. He is now the child that the priests are raising. And so he is there with Eli, the chief priest, who we hear in our text call him my son. So they developed a sort of parental relationship here. And we see Samuel, the boy who's been dedicated to the priests, Samuel, the boy who was dedicated as a Nazarite, Samuel, this child of a miraculous birth. We see him hearing a word from God. And you heard it in that musical interlude, that idea of there's something happening here. There's something pulsing. There's something moving. There's a voice that says, Samuel, Samuel. But then there's this sudden stop. What was that? Who is this? Who's calling out to me? And so Samuel goes and finds the chief priest, and he says, I wasn't calling out for you. Go back to sleep. So Samuel goes back to sleep, and then all of a sudden, there's that din again. There's that sense that something profound is happening. And there's that voice, Samuel, Samuel. And he goes to Eli and he says, what is it that you want? And Eli says, I'm not calling for you. Go back to sleep. And by the third time it's happened, Eli starts to realize that this is something divine that's happening. This is God speaking to this child. One thing that's fascinating about that is that the text tells us that visions in those days were rare. There weren't a lot of people seeing God. There weren't a lot of people hearing God's voice. There was a sense in which the people have grown so distant from God that they're no longer hearing these kinds of messages. And yet Eli is still sharp enough to recognize that what's happening to Samuel is a message, that it's something Samuel needs to listen to. And so he instructs the boy on how to respond to it so that God will know that he is listening and so that God will know that he is ready for the call. Our call to worship this morning was from Psalm 139. And Psalm 139 very poetically and beautifully declares that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Not just that the psalm writer is fearfully and wonderfully made, but that all of us, all human beings, are fearfully and wonderfully made by this Creator who loves us, who is delighted by us, who is overjoyed by us. And that word fearfully, what that means is that we are made reverentially. We are made carefully. We are made with intention. who it is that we are, the traits that we have, the things that we say and do. All of these things were made with intention by a God who loves us, by a God who loves every part of us. So much so that the psalm writer says with his next breath, "Wonderful are your works, that I know very well." And when he says that, what he's saying is, I know me. I know what you have created in me. And I know how wonderful that is. And I praise you for that. Wonderful are your works, that I know very well. For I, like all of you, have been fearfully and wonderfully made by a God who loves us. In the book of Samuel, the first chapter begins with this external voice of shame. This external voice of shame that comes from Peninnah, the other wife, to Hannah, the one who was childless. This external voice of shame that says, "What's wrong with you? What sins have you committed that you've been cursed by God in this way? What have you done that you've been so set back?" And Hannah starts to internalize those voices. The external voices of shame start to become internal voices that say, "Who am I? What have I done? What's wrong with me?" And so she finds herself going to God with a sense of desperation. The text in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and 2, which, by the way, if you have time to read it later in this week, it's really interesting reading. But the text in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and 2 says that she is so desperate in her pleas to God for help that the chief priest sees her praying and thinks that she's drunk because she just looks like such a wild woman in her desperation. In what she's been driven to. But what we hear her proclaiming a chapter later is that God has looked with favor on her lowliness, that God has seen her as a humble servant and has exalted her, that God has lifted her up. Another way we might say it is that God particularly embraces our vulnerability. God particularly embraces our weaknesses and our flaws. There are parts of who we are that we may think of as our weak points, that we may think of as the things that are not good about us, and in fact, those may be the very things that God can most use in us. And so as we hear this message of God exalting the lowly, as we think about some of the voices we may have inside ourselves that bring us down, that make us feel low, we can also remember that God embraces people who are made low. God embraces those who have been humbled. And God can very much use some of the very things that we are most ashamed of in ourselves to make something good and powerful and amazing. In our reading this morning, we see a young boy, Samuel, who does not even register the possibility that God might be speaking to him. We see this young boy, Samuel, who doesn't even think about it on his internal menu of options that this strange voice I'm hearing might be God speaking to me. And I wonder if there are some of us in this room who may have heard a calling from God at some point, who may be hearing a calling from God right now, but who may not even have it on their internal menu of options, that's God speaking, that's God calling, that's God singling out me and saying to me, I've got something for you. We're told that back in Samuel's time, visions were rare. People were not seeing God. They were blocked from those visions. They were not hearing God. Their ears were stuffed up. There were so many barriers between them and who God was. And we see in the reading this chief priest, Eli, who we're told is blind. And his blindness stands in as, yes, a physical condition, but also as symbolic. Because here he is as the leader of these people, and he can't see. He can't see the light that's there. He can't see the visions that God is sending. And yet somehow Samuel does. Somehow Samuel, who thinks that God can't possibly be speaking to him, somehow Samuel is the one who sees the vision. I know that many of us live with internalized voices of shame and doubt. And I've got to admit here, this is kind of dangerous territory for a guest preacher to walk into. Because I don't really know you as a community. I don't really know you as people. You might be sitting there thinking, you know what? I'm really self-confident and I don't need to hear this. And if that's where you are, I mean, awesome. You know? make your grocery list, tune out for a bit, we're good. But I think a lot of us have some internal voices that tell us that we're not good enough, that tell us that other people don't like what they see when they look at us. Those might be voices that were external when we were children, maybe even voices that came from parents or other caregivers that are now internalized within us. Those may be voices that we've heard from bullies, whether they're kid bullies or adult bullies. Those might be voices that we heard in toxic relationships. Those might be voices that we just hear from within us, from our own fears. They may even be voices of self-defense. They might be voices that spring up for us so that we can deny the goodness in ourselves, so that we can have a good reason to not take chances on things, because maybe if we can diminish ourselves to the point of not trying, maybe we can shield ourselves from disappointment if things don't work out the way we hope they will. Those voices can come from many different places. And yet the voice that we hear from God is a voice of affirmation, a voice of love, a voice of seeing us and not only forgiving us, but seeing us and calling us to be something more than what we are now. Callings from God can come in many different forms. We can be called to fidelity in relationships. We can be called to commitment. We can be called to service as a volunteer or in some kind of ministry. We can be called to start a new business or to start a new nonprofit. We can be called, perhaps in ways that might seem small to others, but actually would be a big stretch for us. A big challenge and a growing point for us. We can be called in ways that may seem small to us in the moment, but they may grow into something larger than we can understand right now. Maybe we're called to start a new small group in church. Maybe we're called to a new volunteer role, and perhaps we don't see at the moment how much good we can do in that space, but once we start, it will become clear what the significance is. But certainly one barrier that we have to overcome to be able to hear the voice of God and to be able to respond with courage to the voice of God is to overcome those voices of self-doubt, those voices that say, that's not God you're hearing. Who are you to think that God would be talking to you? You're not good enough to do that. That's something that other people who are better than you will have to do. Those voices are not divine voices. The divine voice says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are intentionally made. Every part of you, your strengths, your flaws, your virtues, your weaknesses, every part of you is fearfully and wonderfully made. And so, if God is calling you today, just as God was calling to Samuel all those years ago, if you have been denying that voice, just as Samuel first denied that voice all those years ago, perhaps now is the time to say, yeah, I am someone worthy of God speaking to me. And yeah, I can do this call. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Covenant Presbyterian Church podcast. I invite you to visit our website, covpresatl.org. That's covpresatl.org. There you'll find current worship information, links to our live Sunday morning streaming service, and our full archive of recorded services. You'll also find out more about us and how to get in touch. I wish you well in these strange times. God is with us. Grace and peace to you.